Time for the weekly edition of the Middle East Report with Hafidha Rehana joining us via Skype this morning. We welcome her to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to your listeners.
Jazakumullah khair for your time. As we count down towards the Ramadan and focusing on various aspects, there are many parts of the world that are still in war, and that is the reality. And many Muslim countries have it has become part of the yearly experience that it's just another time of the year where the wars continue.
Yes, unfortunately so, and that's exactly what is happening in the Middle East. Things are so uncertain there, and what we report on today could be the complete opposite by tomorrow. But there seems to be some decision-making coming to the fore in Yemen. It seems like the warring sides are now agreeing to at least a prisoner swap before Ramadan. So that's something that's hopefully something that the Yemenis are looking out towards. But there's another topic about Ramadan and Yemen that many are not hearing about, and that is that as there's more diplomatic discussion and dialogue about prisoner swap or exchange, about ceasefires coming into play for Ramadan, there's also the likely reality that we're edging towards what took place until the 1990s, and that's where Yemen is divided into two, north and south. And there's a high possibility of that happening again, very much so because it is one of the only way that the Yemenis feel there could be some type of truce or peace that would be held. Ceasefires have been broken repeatedly over the past year in Yemen. And perhaps, they say, the separation of North and South Yemen would help in allowing for more type of peace, and more importantly, for allowing humanitarian aid to come into Yemen. But for many on the ground, it's also a reality that could bring devastation. On a political level and on an Islamic level, scholars are very concerned about whether Sunni Islam will continue to flourish in Yemen if there is North and South Yemen. There's also the concern of the role that both Iran and Saudi Arabia would play, and if this would then put South and North Yemen against each other, very much like North and South Korea, and if that is perhaps a likelihood as well. There's also talk of perhaps parts of Yemen coming under Saudi rule, but that's highly unlikely. Saudi Arabia will still want to meddle into politics in the region, but will be very careful to give a rule by the people for the people. So a likelihood that Yemen may be divided before the end of this year into South and North Yemen, highly likely. Another story, people are talking on the ground about Ramadan groceries, about a business, about the economy, that is just not looking good at all throughout the region. But Egyptians are using a hashtag Ramadan in prison, and they're showing solidarity with imprisoned youth who are going to spend this Ramadan behind bars. It's quickly gained popularity, it's topping the trends in Egypt and North Africa and the Middle East. People are sharing photos of friends and family members in prison. It is a campaign that's taken place on social media. It is picking up momentum. It will be interesting to see if and how the current government under Sisi takes up this point, if there will be a blackout or an outage of social media and internet in the coming days or weeks. But suffice to say, Egyptians are taking to their keyboards and they're talking more about youth, Muslim youth, who are being imprisoned this Ramadan unjustly in Egypt. So there is a stirring and a simmering there, but we're still to see how the government will clamp down on this for the youth in Egypt.
Now on to another front, and that is Syria in particular. There's various levels to the impact of the war, and over the last few weeks you've been taking interesting angles to that, and one of the aspects is the impact on the environment. The roses of Syria as well as the dams, what has been the impact in that regard?
Syria has one particular rose that is world renowned. It has 30 petals on it, and for those that have lived or traveled to Syria, you know all about the rose bushes and rose gardens that are incredible. Syria's famous rose is called the Damask rose, and Shakespeare wrote about it. Its flavoring has been used for making sweets like the Turkish delight. It's used in perfumes and rose water. And now, after thousands of years, Syria's Damask rose is at a risk of being lost. It's actually said that Syria's Damask roses are dying. Now, the rose does grow in countries like Turkey and Iran, but it's actually famous for having been grown from the beginning in Damascus itself, just outside of Damascus. Now, initially, just to show you how the war affects economy, how it affects agriculture, how it affects heritage, because this rose is regarded as part of the heritage of Syria. Before the war in Syria, so we're looking back about 5 or 6 years, 80 tons of Damask rose petals used to be exported annually from a town called Al-Marah. And they would do distillation of the oils for perfumes and food flavoring. Now, at its current stage, there's not more than 20 tons per year being exported, and that itself is by and large a great amount that we're looking at. There's less than 20 tons definitely that's being exported. It's a sweet smelling, it's a beautiful rose. About 60 kilometers east of Damascus, they used to have this annual rose festival. And people in the area now say that our towns and cities near Damascus smell of gunpowder instead of roses. So many, many families, their livelihood is under in jeopardy because of this rose that's dying out in Syria. We know that it was a rose that became very famous at the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi. From that time, Shakespeare wrote about it in his sonnets. Its oil and the roses have been exported to the Gulf, where it's been in high demand. But entire families who have been cultivating these rose gardens, the Damask rose, are now in jeopardy of literally starving as they're unable to feed their families. They've relied heavily on this for over 100 years. They've been involved in the cultivation of the Damask rose. And many of the elderly rose cultivators say that the Damask rose will not come back to life until the war is over. It's tragic to see how different aspects, historical, cultural, agricultural, everything in Syria is at risk of dying. Another aspect, and that's of the dams. We know the dams are so important. They prevent floods, they irrigate crops, they generate hydroelectric power. But about 25 miles from Raqqa, the Tabqa Dam, which is a source of green energy, is now regarded as a military base and a prison and a weapon of war for ISIS. It's also known as the Al-Thawra Dam, the Dam of the Revolution, and it was initially designed to control the flow of the Euphrates River into Iraq and Syria, and then produce hydroelectric power and irrigate the land. So this was when it was under the engineering and financial support from the Soviet Union, completed way back in 1973. It is the largest dam in Syria. It is the largest reservoir in Syria as well. And it produces, or is supposed to produce and generate electricity for thousands of people across eastern Syria. But unfortunately, in recent times, we know that there's been the flooding of the Euphrates Valley. Families have had to resettle away from the zone. And at the moment, Daesh or ISIS is using dams as weapons. Remember when they held the Mosul Dam, they threatened to drown more than 500,000 people in Mosul and Baghdad. And right now, they're using the Tabqa Dam as a shield for their headquarters and to keep prisoners of war. So by controlling this Tabqa Dam, they also threaten thousands of lives of people living downstream in Iraq. And it's unfortunate that dams now are being used as tools of war rather than the ability for people to have green energy and to live with better technology. So these are just two of the tragedies that Syria faces in the midst of its ongoing prolonged war.
Yes, as you indicate, various levels war have affected normal life in that part of the world. Jazakumullah khair for the very interesting report.
You're most welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.